Good morning. The watchword for this week comes from Revelation chapter 7, verse 10. Salvation belongs to our God who is seated on the throne and to the Lamb. Let's reflect on these words as we listen to this morning's prelude. If you are able, please stand for the call to worship found printed in your bulletin. Alleluia, Christ is risen.
Alleluia,
Christ is risen indeed. Blessing and honor are due to the Lord.
Glory
to God forever and ever. May God open our hearts this day. We receive the Holy Spirit. God, accept our imperfect songs and praises.
Only
give thanks for the life. Amen. Let's remain standing for our opening hymn today, number 565 in your hymnal, Ye Servants of God.
Thank you.
Amen. Please be seated. Well, friends, welcome to worship this morning at Christ Moravian Church, and happy Mother's Day. We're glad that you're taking time out of this very special day to be with us, and we hope that today is everything that you need it to be. Before we continue with this service, I have a few announcements to share with you. Friends, today is the last day to get in your chicken pie order for this season. If you haven't already and you would like to, please put your order on the sign-up sheet on the bulletin board before you leave today. The Women's Fellowship will start making pies the next two Wednesdays, May 14th and May 21st. Next Sunday after worship, the CE committee will meet in the office building. And the day after that, Monday, May 19th, Women's Fellowship will have a circle meeting at noon in the Fellowship building. And then on Thursday, May 22nd, a week from this Thursday, the Finance Committee will meet at 5:15 p.m. in the office building. So please be in prayer for these groups and the folks that are in them and all the work that will come out of those meetings. 2 weeks from today, on May 25th, there will be a youth lunch after worship in the Fellowship building. The menu will be a baked potato and salad bar. All are welcome to join us for the meal. There will be no cost, but a love offering will be collected to benefit the children and youth of the church. And friends, just like the previous year, this year's Mother's Day honorarium will go to a local women's shelter that's close by in the neighborhood. And just like last year too, that amount will be distributed through the YWCA located on Main Street. Friends, I am excited to announce that we have a new member transferring over to our congregation. The leadership board has approved Sister Denise Prince to transfer her membership from Raleigh Moravian to Christ Moravian. Many of you may remember that Denise is a child of Christ Moravian. Her parents are our beloved friends, Ken and Marilyn Sparks. So please pray for Denise and her loved ones during this exciting and new transition. And friends, I am very sad to share this morning that our dear friend and sister Rosie Sloan has entered into the more immediate presence of her Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. There will be a memorial service for Rosie tomorrow at noon, right here in the sanctuary of Christ Moravian Church. Then a reception will follow afterward in the Fellowship building. Please be in prayer for all of Rosie's loved ones during this very difficult time. Now, friends, will you join me in prayer? Gracious God, we welcome your presence among us now. And God, we are reminded that today is a very, very special day for many, a day to celebrate and to honor and to rejoice with our moms and those who have been like moms to us, whether blood relatives who have been like moms to us, or folks we haven't even been related to, but who are our found family, our chosen family. But gracious God, today can also carry a mix of other feelings for folks. There can be folks who might not have had positive and wholesome relationships with moms, who might be feeling very different things today, and so we also want to lift them up in prayer. And gracious God, today there may also be folks who are in grief over the recent passing of mom or of a loved one who's been like mom. And so today we lift up the loved ones and the family of Sister Rosie Sloan, especially her children, as they are beginning this heavy, heavy grieving process on Mother's Day weekend. And gracious God, we lift up all those who are thinking of their moms or those who have been like moms who have passed on to be in your presence. Gracious God, the depth of our feelings can be hard to manage at times. We can celebrate with others. We can grieve ourselves. We can grieve with others. We can celebrate ourselves. We can balance many things. And this day can bring many things for many folks. And so we ask that you be with us and grant unto us your grace and your peace as we navigate this day. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Friends, our responsive reading this morning will continue the Mother's Day theme and will acknowledge and honor all the mothers in our lives and all those who have been like mothers to us. Just like we prayed to the Lord a moment ago, we celebrate with those who are celebrating. We grieve with and comfort those who are grieving. Wherever you are today with your feelings about this day, know that you're surrounded by the love and light of Jesus Christ and of your church family. So let us together as a community of faith pray the liturgy this morning. You may remain seated while we pray. Lord, on this day set aside to honor and remember mothers, we give you thanks for our mothers. We are grateful that you chose to give us life through them and that they received the gift of life from your hands and gave it to us. Thank you for the sacrifices they made in carrying us and giving us birth. We thank you for the women who raised us, who were our mothers in childhood, whether birth mom, adopted mom, older sister, aunt, grandmother, stepmother, or someone else. We thank you for those women who held us and fed us, who cared for us and kissed away our pain. We pray that our lives may reflect the love they showed us and that they would be pleased to be called our moms. We pray for older moms whose children are grown. Grant them joy and satisfaction for a job well done. We pray for new moms experiencing changes they could not predict. Grant them rest and peace as they trust you for the future. We pray for pregnant women who will soon be moms. Grant them patience and good counsel in the coming months. We pray for moms who face the demands of single parenthood. Grant them strength and wisdom. We pray for moms who enjoy financial abundance. Give them time to share with their families. We pray for moms who are raising their children in poverty. Grant them relief and justice. We pray for mothers who try to balance vocation and family. Grant them courage for the living of each day. We pray for stepmoms. Grant them patience and understanding and love. We pray for moms who are separated from their children. Grant them faith and hope. We pray for moms in marriages that are in crisis. Grant them support and insight. We pray for moms who have lost children. Grant them comfort in the resurrection of Jesus Christ. We pray for mothers who have experienced abortion. Give them healing and peace. We pray for moms who gave up their children for adoption. Grant them peace and confidence as they trust in your providence. We pray for adoptive mothers. Grant them joy and gratitude for the gift you have provided. We pray for girls and women who think about being moms, wisdom and discernment. We pray for women who desperately want or wanted to be moms, grace to accept your timing and will. We pray for all women who have assumed the mother's role in a child's life, grant them joy and the appreciation of others. We pray for moms who show us the way of faith. Grant them the guidance of the Holy Spirit. We pray for people present who are grieving the loss of their mother in the past year. Grant them comfort and hope in Christ's resurrection. We are mindful this day of all these women, and especially Mary, the mother of our Lord Jesus Christ, who had the courage and faith to say yes to your calling. May these women gathered here today emulate these examples of faith, and may they model for all the rest of us what it means to be your disciple. Bless them on this special day in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Friends, our first scripture lesson for today will be the 23rd Psalm. If you'd like to read along, the words can be found printed in your bulletin. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. May God bless the reading and hearing of God's holy word this day. Friends, let us go again to the Lord in prayer. Gracious God, we give you thanks today for being our constant companion, for being our comfort, for walking alongside us in the valleys of the shadow and death that we can experience in life. It is by your providence that we find ourselves here today as a community of faith and fellowship with one another, joining together to give you thanks and praise. Gracious God, as we continue to leave this place, we aim to still be focused on you and what your calling is for us in this coming week. Be with us. Equip us, be our guide, our shelter, our place of refuge. For it is in you that we seek to find these things, and it is in the name of Jesus Christ that we pray and lift these things to you today. Amen. Will the ushers please come forward?
Thank you.
Friends, our second scripture lesson for today will come from the book of Revelation, chapter 7. We'll be reading verses 9 through 17. After this, I looked, and there was a great multitude that no one could count, from every nation, from all tribes and peoples and languages, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, robed in white, with palm branches in their hands. They cried out in a loud voice, saying, "Salvation belongs to our God who is seated on the throne and to the Lamb." And all the angels stood around the throne and around the elders and the four living creatures. And they fell on their faces before the throne and worshiped God, singing, "Amen. Blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be to our God forever and ever. Amen." Then one of the elders addressed me, saying, "Who are these robed in white, and where have they come from?" I said to him, "Sir, you are the one who knows." Then he said to me, "These are they who have come out of the great ordeal. They have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. For this reason, they are before the throne of God and worship God day and night within God's temple. And the one who is seated on the throne will shelter them. They will hunger no more and thirst no more. The sun will not strike them, nor any scorching heat. For the Lamb at the center of the throne will be their shepherd, and he will guide them to springs of the water of life. And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes." May God bless the reading and hearing of God's holy word this day. And now, friends, for our second hymn today, we will sing the first four verses of number 404 in your hymnal, "Jesus Shall Reign Where'er the Sun." If you're able, please stand. Let's sing those four verses together.
Thank you.
Please be seated. Friends, today's sermon lesson will come from the book of Acts. Just like last week, we'll be in chapter 9, but we'll be at the end of the chapter today, reading verses 36 through 43. Now in Joppa, there was a disciple whose name was Tabitha, which in Greek is Dorcas. She was devoted to good works and acts of charity. At that time, she became ill and died. When they had washed her, they laid her in a room upstairs. Since Lydda was near Joppa, the disciples who heard that Peter was there sent two men to him with the request, "Please come to us without delay." So Peter got up and went with them, and when he arrived, they took him to the room upstairs. All the widows stood beside him, weeping and showing tunics and other clothing that Dorcas had made while she was with them. Peter put all of them outside. Then he knelt down and prayed. He turned to the body and said, "Tabitha, get up." Then she opened her eyes, and seeing Peter, she sat up. He gave her his hand and helped her up. Then calling the saints and widows, he showed her to be alive. This became known throughout Joppa, and many believed in the Lord. Meanwhile, he stayed in Joppa for some time with a certain Simon, a tanner. May God bless the reading and hearing of God's holy word this day. Friends, as we've acknowledged already in this service through prayer and through liturgy, on Mother's Day, we try not just to acknowledge the people who were and are our moms, or recognize the work that if any of you are moms in the congregation today, the work that you yourselves do to mother those who may be your blood relatives or those who are your chosen family. So maybe these people to us are like extended family, grandmothers, aunts, cousins, or siblings, folks who have done that mothering work to us, or maybe we are like that to them. Maybe they're not even blood related, like I mentioned, but people in our lives who stepped up and cared for us regardless. And thus, we feel inspired and we feel motivated to pass that on, whether we're mothers ourselves, or whether we're even women ourselves. I certainly have been inspired by my mom and the people in my life who have been like my mom, and am inspired to pass on that same kind of care and love and service to my kids and to all others who are put in my way. And friends, today in Scripture, we read about someone like that. We read about someone who dedicated their lives to caring for those around them, someone who was not necessarily a blood relative to the people they cared for, but who still did that service anyway. This person was a disciple, a follower of Jesus Christ, someone who it was highly likely may have encountered the living Jesus, a woman named Tabitha. Now, Tabitha lived and worked in a city that was then called Joppa, has a different name now. And in Joppa, Tabitha's ministry was very important. She cared for a community of widows. Now, in our current day and age, the term widow or widower, depending on the person, means someone whose spouse has passed on. It has that very specific meaning. But in the time of today's story, back in the time of the early church, it had a bit of a different meaning. Someone who was a widow, it could be someone who didn't have someone to provide for them or care for them in the household, and typically it referred to women who did not have a husband for whatever reason. Could be that the husband had passed, it could be divorce, it could be a number of other reasons. And during that time also, if you were a widow, if you had that label on you, you weren't very high on the social ladder. Society didn't think too highly of you or care about you all that much if you were a widow in that time. If you didn't have a husband to provide for you, if you didn't have a head of household, people thought of you very differently. And in fact, there was such a noticeable difference in how people treated widows that it even showed up in the early church among the disciples and early followers of Jesus. If we go back a few chapters to Acts chapter 6, we read about how word was spreading to church leadership, that groups of widows were not getting fed regularly, that there was a charitable distribution of food that the church was responsible for giving to folks, maybe similar to our blessing box or our pantry shelves that we have. And then word got to them that there were groups of widows who were being overlooked. They were not being included in that food distribution, and they were going hungry. They were not getting what they needed. And so we read in Acts chapter 6, in response, a group is commissioned to fix this oversight, and the work continues. Members of the 12 disciples of Jesus, members of that early church leadership, pray on it, lay hands on a group of folks, and then they go and begin that work of caring for and feeding the widows. So from that example in Acts chapter 6, and then from reading about Tabitha in today's scripture, and then also just from studying the history and culture of that time, we get the sense that widows relied on charitable care from other people in order to get what they needed, because there weren't a lot of other opportunities for them to get by. So beginning in verse 36 today, we read that Tabitha takes part in that very important ministry. She is devoted to good works and acts of charity. And friends, it's notable when in Scripture someone is called out or pointed out for this. Even as praiseworthy and as notable as it is, that those descriptions still might sell Tabitha short. Because as best we know, Tabitha wasn't just devoted to good works and acts of charity, but her whole life revolved around them. It's likely that Tabitha lived full time with that community of widows that she cared for. It's likely she used her own money to support them, used her own skills to provide for them. And for example, we know that she could sew clothing. As later in the story we read, when the grieving widows meet the Apostle Peter, they show him the clothes that she made for them. They show him the remnants of the legacy that she left behind. And friends, when Peter arrives and the widows are grieving, why is it? Why are they sad? Well, we read in Scripture because their caregiver, their community member, the woman who cared for them, who was a mom to them, Tabitha, she gets sick and she dies. Death striking suddenly can shake a community. It can be very distressing when someone who's always present and always doing something and always healthy and always setting an example and always working and putting other people above themselves, when that person is suddenly no longer there, it can be striking. There's a space left behind where they once were that it seems too big for anyone to fill. And friends, that's why in this story, Peter is sent for with haste. When their friend dies, the widows are distraught. They feel lost. They feel uprooted without Tabitha. And friends, thinking about how they might feel with the passing of Tabitha makes me think about the resurrection of Jesus. And especially because in this season that we're in, the season of Easter, where just a few weeks ago, we had our Resurrection Day celebration, we had the sunrise service, We had Easter Sunday, and so we're still in that season of thinking about what that means. We're still close enough to it that it's on our hearts and our minds. We think about what the resurrection means for us, what it means to the world, what it means for the future, how it changes us. And friends, I think that's perfectly okay. It is more than okay to think about what happened to Jesus and what it means. It's one way we can feel close to Jesus. But these widows weren't necessarily thinking like that in that time. They were just trying to eat. They were just trying to stay healthy. They were trying to clothe themselves because the woman who clothed them was no longer around. This was about survival for that group of widows. Tabitha took care of them. With her gone, what does the future hold? What comes next for them? How are they going to get what they need? How are they going to survive? There's a lot of uncertainty for this group of people. And so when Tabitha dies, Peter is sent for with haste. He's in a place called Lydda, we read in Scripture, which the apps map of my computer tells me is about 9.5 miles from Joppa. So not quite the same as us hopping in a car and driving 9.5 miles up the highway, not that fast, but still he could get there in a reasonably quick amount of time. Peter was not very far away. And when Peter does arrive, what he does demonstrates that he paid attention to a thing or two that Jesus taught him. Peter's response to the widows is very Christ-like. When he gets there, he listens to them patiently. They're weeping. They're upset. They show him the clothes, and he takes it all in and listens and is present with them. Peter prays with them. And then Peter uses the gifts at his disposal to care for them. Just so happens that in this story, his particular gift that he uses is to help Tabitha back up to her feet like nothing happened. Now, if that part of the story seems familiar to you, the way Peter lifts Tabitha up, standing on her feet, saying, "Tabitha, get up," then you're on to something. Because a similar thing happened in the life of Jesus. If we go back, there's a couple accounts in the Gospels. We could go back to Luke or Mark. There are accounts of Jesus being urgently summoned to help a young girl who has fallen ill and died. He ends up restoring her life in very similar ways. He says, "Little girl, get up," and she's up on her feet. And one of the few people in the room when that happens is Peter. Peter has seen it happen, and now Peter is doing it. He's the recipient of that holy legacy. It's now his turn to use that gift that he inherited from Jesus. And friends, likewise, that's one way to remember those who have left us, by using the gifts and skills they taught us, by following their example, by living out their legacy. Peter does this here in this story. His teacher, his friend, his savior, the one who comforted him at times like a mother, is no longer with him. But Peter honors his legacy and his memory by carrying out the work that Jesus commissioned him to do, using the skills he learned along the way. And as a result, not only is Tabitha back to life, but the widows are cared for. They are comforted, they are prayed with, they are listened to. And friends, because Tabitha is alive again, the new life that came with her coming back to life now belongs to her and the widows, all made possible by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Because she's alive again, the widows will continue to benefit from her care and devotion. They will continue to survive and persist as a community of faith. Earlier, I mentioned that this time of year we tend to think and ask questions about the resurrection of Jesus and what it might mean for us and for the world? And there could be many answers to that question. But one answer I think we can come up with is that because Jesus was raised, we take the example from this story, because Jesus was raised, those who are in need can get what they need. Because Jesus was raised, an abundant life was made possible, so too was Tabitha raised by Peter. Because Tabitha was raised by Peter, the widows can continue to be cared for and not just comforted and listened to and prayed over, although that's very important. They can get tangible help. They can be fed. They can be clothed. They can be cared for when sick. And so the lesson that we can learn from this part of the story is that because of what happened to Jesus, abundant life can be had on earth and in heaven. Because of what happened to Jesus on that glorious resurrection day, we carry on the legacy of the saints while we're here, including those who were our mothers and those who have been like moms to us. And then we go join them when we leave here. We do the work we're called to do, patterning it off of those who taught us. And then we go to rest from our labors when that time comes. And friends, speaking of that, in recent months here at Christ Moravian, we have had a few of our number leave here to go there. And unlike Tabitha, they were not helped back to life by a disciple of Jesus Christ. So how can we make sense of that? How can we sort through our feelings around that? How can we keep going? How can we fill that space where they once were? And I think that at the end of the day, we can find companionship with those in this story. Because although Tabitha was raised up by Peter, although because that wasn't her day to die, she won't live forever. She will pass as all things pass in this world. And Peter too, and the other apostles and followers of Jesus also will not live forever. Because nothing on this earth lives forever. Nothing lasts forever. So friends, when we're confronted with death, let us not place our hope in the continuation of life on earth, but place our hope in the abundant life given by Jesus Christ. Even though it hurts, even though there's grief, even though it may seem like we can't carry on without our loved ones, even though as I'm standing here right now, I miss my grandmother fiercely and dearly, and I know that many of you miss many of your loved ones in the same way, we can try and do the same as Peter did. We may not have his gifts, but we may not be able to take someone by the hand and raise them up standing after the life has left them, but we all have our own gifts planted and instilled in us by God and God's loving act of creation, and then manifested by physical example, by our moms, by those who are like moms to us, and those that we who are mothers or who care for others like moms pass on to those who will come next. In this way, we live out their legacy in a way that serves others, shares the gospel, and ultimately makes the world a better place. So friends, today, let's remember those role models for us, whether they are still with us or whether they have passed on to rest from their labors. Let's remember those who taught and cared for us, who lived with us and shared what they had with us. Those who lived an example to follow in the manner of Jesus Christ. Those people who, when we saw them and saw them do what they do, we saw Jesus. Let us remember and let us be like Tabitha and Peter, patterning our lives as we follow the Holy Son of God, Jesus Christ, as he shows us how to live and act in the world through those people who mean so much to us. Amen. Our closing hymn today, friends, is number 705, My Faith Looks trustingly. If you're able, please stand. We'll sing that one together. Friends, whatever plans you have for the rest of this day, I hope they are exactly what you need them to be. I hope that you're filled with the love and light of your loved ones, of this church family, and of your Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, as this Mother's Day continues. Friends, may God bless you and keep you. May God make God's face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May God lift up God's countenance before you and bring you peace. In the name of Jesus Christ, our risen Lord. Amen. Go in peace.